Hello, welcome to the Lean on Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Hello and welcome to the Lean with Plants podcast. We're going to be talking about the weight on the scale, understanding weight fluctuations, and how you can use the scale to be something that helps you in your journey, as opposed to something that when you hop on it and you see some kind of scary number, it completely derails you, which I know happens to a lot of people and used to happen to me as well. We're also going to talk about some other measures and some other things that you can focus on that are going to help you track your progress and are useful measures on a day-to-day basis rather than just using a scale. So I think that it's really important to talk about this, and I think I've talked about it before, but we've got to be able to track our progress in some way, and there's multiple ways you can do it. You don't just have to use the scale weight. But if we're letting either the number on the scales define how our day goes and derail our consistency, then the scale is something that we are letting be a hindrance to our progress. Or if we're too scared to hop on it because we know that it's a hindrance to our progress, then we're actually missing out on a really, really powerful tool for understanding ourselves and our bodies better, and also knowing whether we're making progress and having more accountability. So whenever people talk to me about being scared of hopping on the scales and saying, you know, I don't want to weigh myself, it's triggering for me, I always think, you know what, if you could get to a point where you hopped on and all you saw was a number, it didn't define you, it didn't affect you, it was literally just data, wouldn't that be a healthier, better place to get to than just avoiding it? Like, I've got a fear of cockroaches, and it's a somewhat irrational fear. Like, I mean, cockroaches are gross, like they're the worst thing in the world, and I'm sure there's many people who agree. But that phobia that I have, which I think it probably actually is bordering on a phobia, that hinders my life. Like, I think it's healthy to have a respect of cockroaches. They're gross. They're disgusting. You don't want to have them in your house. But if they make you want to burn your entire house down or run out the door and absolutely just lose your crap and give you like this huge surge of adrenaline that you can't shake for hours, then that's not actually healthy. And I feel like it's the same kind of thing with the scales. So there's three things that really influence the scales weights, and we're going to talk about those factors first. And the first one of those is the number of food, or the amount of food in your system, not the number of foods. Okay, there's 1p, 2p, that's all adding up. No, it doesn't work that way. So the amount of food in your system. So in terms of interpreting what we see on the scales, the amount of food that you have is going to have a big factor in that. I want you to picture a empty bowl. And so in that empty bowl, when you put that on the scales, let's say you've got a little home kitchen scales, that's not going to weigh all that much because there's nothing in it. But if you were to start piling in some tomatoes, some courgette, some eggplant, you're going to make a ratatouille, it's going to be delicious. You've got some other components in there, and you pile that high, at some point you're going to add a couple more pounds, or maybe even more, depending on how much food you add to that bowl, to the scale weight. And so if you are used to eating smaller portions or skipping meals, and then you suddenly start to eat more food, then it's going to be really natural and normal to see an increase in the scales. And that's simply because you're carrying around more undigested food and fiber in your system. So it's really, really normal, especially if you've come from a keto or a carb-restricted diet, where or a portion-restricted diet, to initially change and then see the scales go up. And it doesn't mean that you've gained fat, it just means that you've eaten more food. And so this isn't just for people who have changed their diet and are now eating more food. This is a very normal daily fluctuation that we don't all eat extremely consistent amount of food during the day. Sometimes we eat late at night, well I do, and sometimes I eat earlier on in the day. Sometimes I'm hungrier, sometimes I'm having more water in my food. So it's normal to expect that if one day my last meal was say 6 p.m. and it was light, that the number on the scales would be less the next morning if I'd eaten a huge meal at 9 p.m. Like that kind of makes sense, right? What if I hadn't had a bowel motion? Like there's such a clinical way of saying it. What if I had not pooped for a couple of days? There's poop in your system, right? So you're going to be weighing more if you've got more food in your system. So we've already got a factor here which has got nothing to do with the fat in your system that is going to massively change the amount of weight that you see on the scales if you've just changed your diet, or if something has happened during your day that just means that there's more food in your system. And one thing I want to point out is that you're not going to be able to necessarily see where extra weight comes from or less weight. It's not a predictable thing. The more that you start to know your own cycles and the more data you collect, the more you're going to be able to see patterns and trends, but it doesn't mean that they're always going to be interpretable. The second thing that affects the weight on the scales is glycogen and water weight. So glycogen is this cool little energy store that comes from carbohydrates, and it's what your body uses for quick energy needs. It's pretty magical. And every gram of glycogen holds about 2.5 to 4 grams of water. So because we can store about 800 grams of glycogen at a time, that's a really easy, common way that you can see fluctuations of several pounds just because of glycogen stores. So if you, again, have come from a low-carb diet or a portion-controlled diet and now you start eating a lot of carbohydrates, you switch to eating potatoes and rice, you're going to see a huge jump on the scales simply because you have more glycogen in your system, because you're eating more carbohydrates. Think of this as this little energy store, and then it needs water around it. And it's holding water around it. It doesn't matter if you've gained weight from water. It doesn't matter if you suddenly have more energy. I mean, it's a positive thing if your muscles now have more energy for you to use on a day-to-day basis, right? Like, that's not a bad thing, but it means that you're going to have more weight on the scales. And the same thing is said if you go to a low carbohydrate diet or you start to restrict your food. You can deplete your glycogen stores, which means it looks like you're losing weight really fast. And this is the main reason that something like keto has gained so much popularity, because it's very, very quick weight loss in the form of water weight. And there was actually a study that Michael Greger talked about in his book, How Not to Diet. I think you can actually find this online on nutritionfacts.org. And there was a study that was done, and this was actually by one of the proponents of the keto diet, to test calorie for calorie, whether a keto diet or a low carbohydrate diet or a high carbohydrate diet was better for fat loss. And here's what happened. They had the participants eat about 1,800 calories each. So they're both eating the same amount of calories. And then the keto group, the low carbohydrate group, actually lost more weight over a week period. They lost significantly more weight, like nearly double. But when they actually look at what was lost, the keto group lost less fat than the high carbohydrate group. So the high carbohydrate group lost less weight, but what they did lose wasn't just water, it was actually fat. So if you were to just look at the scales, you would go, okay, the keto diet was a clear winner. But when you actually looked at what was happening inside someone's body, the high carbohydrate diet was better. So this is why it's so important to understand that when you're looking at the scales, it's just the sum of all of your parts. It's not just measuring fat. And even if you have one of those really fancy scales that measures your fat percentage and all of that kind of thing, I don't think that that's convincing enough to place much stock in. Unless you're actually hopping on a DEXA scan or some kind of scan which is measuring body fat, then it's going to be very, very hard on a day-to-day basis to see whether you are losing fat or gaining fat, because even if the scale is fluctuating by pounds and pounds each day. The other thing to understand is that in terms of water weight, high salt meals and drinking more water, again, just having more water in your system, salty meals are going to mean that you retain more water, and that's going to affect the number on the scales. If you've drunk in more, that's going to affect the number on the scales, either up or down. So now we've got two factors, the amount of food of your system and glycogen and water weight, that are going to massively influence that on a day-to-day basis. The third one is muscle weight. So if you are gaining muscle at the same rate that you're losing fat, you may not see significant change on the scales, although you would be losing fat and your body composition will be changing. You would look more toned and you would look more lean. So it's important to track progress with other methods as well. So especially if you don't have much weight to lose, if you've got like only the last 10 pounds or even less than that, you're only really trying to lose a couple of kilos in your weight training, which is very, very helpful at any stage of weight loss. Hugely, hugely important, especially for women. As we age, we start to lose bone density, we start to lose muscle tone, and we can stop and halt some of that by actually weight training. And looking more toned and having more lean muscle is going to help you to achieve the look that most people are going for when they're trying to lose weight without actually having to lose as much fat. So that means that you can afford to eat a bit more calories, you don't have to restrict as much to get down to a lean weight. So some of the other ways that you can actually measure progress are things like taking photos, measuring your body circumference, or using like body fat calipers, or like I said, taking some kind of body fat scan. And number four is that you have got muscles and organs and skin and sometimes clothes, and you have the entire, and fat, right? And the entire rest of your body that is making up who you are, your blood, and all of those kind of things. So what we're trying to do here when it comes to losing weight is lose fat. That is what we're trying to do. We are not trying to lose muscle. That is the opposite of what we want to do. We are not trying to lose water. We do not want to restrict carbohydrates. We do not want to have less food in our system so that we go hungry. You do not want to have less fiber because you do not have a healthy gut microbiome. All we are trying to do is focus on fat loss rather than the number on the scales. So over time, if you have a significant amount of weight to lose in terms of you want to lose quite a bit of fat, that is going to show up on the scales at some point. If you can lose 40 pounds of fat, at some point you're going to notice that. But on a day-to-day basis, because your scales is taking the sum of who you are as a person, not just your fat, it is not an accurate measure of your progress. In saying that, I still believe, and there is a lot of evidence to support this, that we should be tracking our weights on a daily basis and not letting that number affect how we feel about our progress. Before we get into that, I just wanted to recap. There's multiple things that affect the weight on the scales: the amount of food in your system, glycogen, water weight, muscle weight, fat, and everything that makes up who you are. Over a longer period of time, over weeks and months and years, the scale is an incredibly undeniable way of measuring whether you have lost fat. but on a day-to-day basis, it is not very accurate as to whether you are losing or gaining. So when we let that number on the scales affect our day-to-day progress, we are letting something that is so inaccurate on a day-to-day, that is so unrelated to progress on a day-to-day, that it is almost like looking at your bank account the day after you paid a big bill, or the day before payday, or the day after payday, and seeing that number that you see in your bank account as the be-all and end-all of whether you are successful or not, and then letting that number affect your entire day. Wouldn't it make more sense to look at your bank account as a whole and see, you know, year on, year on, year on, year off, or month to month, I'm, you know, living within my budget, I'm saving money, my savings is going up. Like, that makes so much more sense, right? And so when we look at the scales and we let that derail our progress, and we use that as an excuse to then have negative behaviors and revert back to old patterns that ultimately don't serve us, we are using something that is just not accurate and is just so unrelated to progress to tell us that we're not making any. Like, this is really the equivalent of, as a parent, of being told by a toddler, "I hate you, mommy, you're so mean, you're so cruel." And then that absolutely destroying you. So like, "I can't believe my child doesn't love me." No, your toddler is always going to say those things. That is normal, that is okay. So what we need to do is we need to shift our expectations of what the scale is going to do and start to see things differently. So we need to start expecting that on a day-to-day basis our weights will fluctuate, and we need to start looking for something that is a what we call a downward trend as opposed to a consistent downward number. So a downward trend is all about averages. A downward trend is something that you observe over weeks, months, and years. And that is when you look at the trajectory of your weight, and it's almost going to look like the heartbeat on a scale, on a heart rate monitor, where it goes up and down, and it's like beep, 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 and it's going up and down. But what you want to see is you want to see that trending downwards. And it doesn't matter how high the peaks and troughs are. All that matters is that it's starting to trend downwards. And so it's so funny because I will talk to people who they're really frustrated, like, my weight loss is slow, or like I did this and then my scale weight went up. And I'm like, you've got such a great downward trend. Chill out, it's okay. All we need to do is think about this on a longer timeline. Because if you can see that downward trend over weeks and months, then it is going to get you to that goal eventually, right? It's just you're not going to see much progress day to day. And that's okay. And I don't really know if there's kind of any kind way of saying this. And like, I want to be kind, and I want to be understanding of how much this affects people. And if you're listening right now and you're like, "Oh no, what's she going to say? She's going to offend me." Then that may be the case, but please know that is not my intention. What I want to encourage you is, if you really, really find looking at the scales hard, that is something that you are able to overcome. That is something that does not have to define who you are. That is not something that has to trigger you forever. All the scales is data. It is innate. It is non-emotional. And you are ascribing meaning to it. You are ascribing meaning to a number on a day-to-day basis that is just the sum of who you are in that second that you hopped on it. And all of these factors that are mostly out of your control. So when you ascribe so much meaning to that, and you allow that to become a crutch and an excuse, you are giving power to it. And ultimately, that is a choice. And you can take steps to choose to see that as data and to choose to do the things that are going to allow you to see it that way. And really, that is the biggest reason that I recommend daily weighing, because it helps you to see weight loss and what is happening as literally just data. Because the more that you see that, the more that you see that lagging measure, and we'll talk about latent and lagging measures, not latent, leading and lagging measures in a moment. It's really, really key. But the more that you just see that as a measure, and the more that you expect that, the more that you give yourself freedom to see what your body is doing, the more that you are able to see this as something that happens over time, and that a good day or a bad day really is not the thing that is going to make or break your progress, as opposed to overall consistency. Because at the end of the day, we can do so much, or we can only do so much in a day that is going to affect the numbers on the scales. There is only so good we can be. You could fast for the entire day, and it doesn't matter if 50% of the year is off track. It doesn't matter what happened on that one day, even if the scales went way down. In the same way, you could have a really bad day. You could have a big binge. It wouldn't matter if the scales went up and then the rest of the time you were consistent and your habits were on track towards getting to your goals. It wouldn't matter. So we've got to just expand our minds out a whole lot more. See the day-to-day as just a teeny tiny stepping stone, somewhat meaningless on its own, but part of this much, much bigger puzzle where we get focused on the daily actions that are going to get us to complete that. The second reason that daily weighing is so powerful, before we get into that, I just want to come back to the ability to see this as data. And for anyone who's feeling like, I'll never be able to see that, I have seen hundreds of women inside of Lean with Plants be able to see the scales as data and to be able to find freedom from that for the first time. It is so possible, and it is one of the most freeing things that you can experience. The other reason that it is so powerful to weigh yourself on a daily basis is it helps you know the trajectory of your slips. It is a much, much quicker measure of fat gain than your clothes or how you feel, because when your habits start to slip, and that normally happens for most of us over the course of weeks or months, and suddenly we've gained weight, it didn't happen overnight. It's not the one little scale weight that went up. It's the continual upward trend, the opposite of what we want, where we start to see, you know, I actually gained 10 pounds and it kind of happened and I don't know how. You're not going to notice even 5 pounds, or you may not notice 5 pounds of difference without a scale. Your habits may have slipped and you might not even have really noticed or really noticed the effects of that. But you're going to see 5 pounds of difference, the trajectory of that upwards on a scale, much, much quicker. And it allows you to check that much, much quicker. And I have never met someone who has gained weight who is still consistently weighing themselves every single day. Most of the time, daily weighing is one of the first things to go when our habits start to slip, because we don't want to know. Why do we not want to know? Because it's uncomfortable. But being accountable to that and doing that on a daily basis means that we can slow and hold that trajectory, because it is a very hard wake-up call when you see the scale start to trend up over a day-to-day basis over a couple of weeks. So it's a huge accountability tool. And Michael Greger actually talks about this in his book, How Not to Diet, as well. And there's been multiple studies on daily weighing. He actually recommends from the data that people weigh twice a day. I don't feel that that is necessary. I think that that adds more complexity than is needed for most people's busy lives. But once a day, after you've been to the toilet in the morning, in minimal clothes or the same clothes every day, is hugely, hugely effective. And there's also been a lot of studies that have looked whether this is something that affects people negatively in terms of their mental health. And there's no indication from the real data that this is harmful in any way, that it is actually a hugely helpful accountability tool, which is why it is recommended. So let's talk about some other ways of actually measuring your progress. And we're going to talk about this in terms of leading and lagging measures. So lagging measures are things like weight loss, scales going down, clothes fitting differently. They are something that are not, they're not directly related to what we do on a daily basis. We only really start to see the effects of our actions in a lagging way. Just like the same with saving money. You save money one day, you're not going to notice a huge change in your bank account. But over time, if you consistently do that, then you're going to see that number build and build and build. And it's the same kind of thing. So lagging measures are important. They help us to actually gauge that we are making progress, but only in retrospect. They tell us what our actions have been, rather than help us gauge whether we are on track or what's happening on a day-to-day basis. So leading measures are far more effective things to focus on than just lagging measures when it comes to measuring our progress. And so leading measures are our behaviors and our actions that are going to lead to the lagging measures. And when I talk about measures, these are the things that we are actually quantifying for ourselves success. So in the same way that if you were to diet for a week and then hop on the scales and see if the weight had gone down, you would see that as success. That's only seeing lagging measures as success. Instead, if you were to say, you know what, if I do XYZ and I do that 5 days a week out of seven, then I'm going to see that as success regardless of what the scale says. That's where you're focusing on leading measures. And the cool thing about leading measures is they always lead to lagging measures. And if they don't, you just adjust them. The annoying thing about lagging measures is they don't teach you what to do on a daily basis that is actually going to get you to have those consistently. Because you can lose weight in an unhealthy way. You can do it in a way that is not going to last, and you're going to still see that as success, but it's not going to be the behaviors that are going to help you to maintain that. The really good news is that I've helped hundreds of women lose weight inside of my program Lean with Plants, and I'm not saying that as a boast. It's really just, there's no way to not say that as a boast. I'm happy about it. I'm super proud of it. But the thing that has been most valuable is just seeing the data and being able to say what's working, what's not, what are the things that people consistently do, what are the actions and habits that if people do these things, they will be successful. And it's really, really exciting to now be at a place where this has been going for about 3 years. The podcast is coming up 3 years old. Lean with Plants is about the same. And we have so much data and we've tested so many things that we can now say beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are a few key things that if people do them consistently, they will actually be successful long term. Do you want to know what they are? I'm sure you do. So the first habit or leading measure that emerged is how consistently people eat a high volume of vegetables. The most successful people that I've seen consistently eat more than a pound of vegetables every single day. They set aside and they use about a pound of veggies or more as snacks or as sides of the meals that they cook, in salads, and people will put cauliflower in their oats, they'll add tons of vegetables to sushi bowls. They are just people who eat a ton of vegetables. Not only do they use vegetables as sides, they also cook differently. They cook with a lot of vegetables. If they're making risotto, and I do this too, I add as many vegetables as I can, spaghetti sauce, pasta. I can only think of pastas, Italian food. Now I'm thinking of pizza, like curries or stir fries or wraps, like literally anything would be about half vegetables. So the way that you cook just changes. And so this is a really easy leading measure where if you get a habit tracker, and so we have this in Lean with Plants as well. We use the Lean with Plants app, which is really, really cool. So we can set all of these habits that are super, super important to work on a daily basis and just check them off. So it becomes a really, really cool way of knowing, hey, I'm actually doing the thing. I'm doing the leading measures that are going to get me to the results. So eating a ton of vegetables is huge. One of the things that you can do right now. And I would suggest go and weigh out about a pound of vegetables, raw weight. Don't overthink it. Put it into a container. Find a container that fits that. And then use that container. Put an alarm on your phone. Have that in your fridge every single night or morning, whatever the alarm that you set. And then your job is just to empty that during the day. And it's much more satisfying to empty a container and eat that last bit of broccoli than it is to have to eat another piece of broccoli. Like, it's much more satisfying to look at it as something that's almost empty and just have to remove it than it is to go, well, I've already eaten so much, I have to eat more. So it's psychologically, there's something about removing things, which is, you can take advantage of that. I just nearly pulled out my headphones by because I was waving my arms. The other thing that I've seen is people consistently eating weight loss foods. So you have to understand the principles of this. You have to understand calorie density, a few key principles. If you don't know how to do this, then I made a mini course. It's completely free. It's for you. It's to kickstart your weight loss, to understand more about this than 90% of the people out there on the planet. I would say 99%. And my goal with creating this free mini course was for it to be more valuable than anything you've spent on weight loss so far. And I know for most people that is thousands. So I really poured my heart and soul into this. If you have not gone through it, you can see the link in the description. Please go through that so that you can learn some of these frameworks for how to eat and what are weight loss foods. And so one of these leading measures is how consistently you cook with whole foods. Whole foods are things like potatoes, vegetables, whole grains. I mean, I would put pasta in there. It's not really a whole food, but it's close enough in terms of calorie density wise, which is how many calories are in it per pound. And you have it with a lot of water, which also means that it is lower in calorie density. Things like fruits, any kind of legumes. Processed foods, on the other hand, are things like oils, pretty much anything that comes in a wrapper, Oreos, pizza, anything that is deep fried or pastries, like any cereals or anything like that. They tend to be extremely high in calories so that we can eat a lot of them and we don't feel full. And so we end up overeating on calories without actually being eating until we are satisfied. So it's very, very easy to eat more calories than we need. And that's why weight loss actually happens. So the more that you eat whole foods while also eating a ton of vegetables, and the more you cook this way and remove oil from your diet and these processed foods, then the more your calories are going to go down, which means that you will predictably start to see that weight going down on the scales. The other thing to look at is how consistent are your weekends. Because weekends for most people is where their progress gets derailed. So looking at how many meals out of the weekend am I eating whole foods? How consistently am I still eating vegetables on the weekend? You can set up a way of tracking this. You can look at this and measure it. Or you can even just ask yourself, you know what, are my weekends consistent? And if they're not, then you've got the ability to focus on this as a leading measure of your success. And the part that I think I really want to get across here is that with leading measures, you really make sure that you believe or celebrate, even if you don't believe, and give yourself credit for the leading measures, even if they don't, in the short term, show up as lagging measures. So if you're eating your vegetables consistently and the scales goes up, you're okay with that because you see the leading measure, which is the veggie consistency, as the win, not the lagging measure. Because like I said, the lagging measure, if you're looking at on even a week basis, it may just be too short a time frame for you to see any kind of lagging results. They are lagging. That's why they're called lagging for a reason. And remember all those things that can make up who you are just apart from fat. Glycogen, water weight, muscle weight, food in your system. So it's so important to focus on leading measures, not just lagging measures. Other ways of tracking your progress that are more lagging measures are things like your clothes fitting differently or taking your measurements. I think I said this, and this can be really helpful as well if you're using the scales as a lagging measure over time. You're still weighing yourself daily, but you're not seeing that consistent progress and you're not seeing that go down. If you're in those last 10 pounds or you're in a place where you really don't have much to lose, then especially at that point, looking at other measures to see, hey, am I actually am I actually losing weight, or am I more accurately losing fat? And that's going to help you to actually gauge that. So think of leading measures as the starting point. They're the behaviors that will predictably get to your results. They're the things to celebrate, the things to focus on, the things that you have 100% control over. The lagging measures are the things that happen because of the leading measures, if the leading measures are being effective. And sometimes they're not. But like I said, you have the benefit of someone who has seen this work with hundreds and actually over 1,000 people now. So I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you focus on these leading measures, you will actually see results. And then you can adjust them and tweak them slightly as you get closer and closer to your goal to up your veggies, up your consistency, get more consistent on the weekends, cook with more whole foods, and again, predictably get to those lagging measures. I'm going to leave this episode here. I hope that it's been helpful for you. I really want everyone listening to be able to experience the freedom that comes from not seeing the scales as something that has to derail your progress. And the best way to do that is to, first of all, have that understanding that it is not who you are. It is just the sum of your body at that one tiny second in time, that one tiny snapshot, to think on a much longer timeline, and then to just do it every day. Because the more you do it, the more it is not going to seem like a big deal. And I've thought about this with the whole cockroach thing as well, and because there's such thing as exposure therapy, and I know, because I was water blasting the other day because we're trying to sell a house and renovate it, and there was quite a few cockroaches that came out of the fence. And on like the third or second day, I'd kind of gotten to this point where I just was so used to seeing cockroaches come out of the fence that it wasn't as big a deal as what it normally is. And then I felt this thing on my leg, and I was wearing wet weather gear, so I was obviously didn't want to get all wet, and I felt this kind of like thing on my leg, and then I was like, no, it was staying still. I was like, if it was a cockroach, because that's my first thought, then it would have moved, and it didn't move. So I was like, no, I'm just going to ignore it. I'm going to keep water blasting. And then I kept feeling this kind of scratch my leg. And so I pulled up the wet weather gear, and there was a cockroach sitting on my leg. And I brushed it away, and I didn't actually freak out. And normally that kind of thing would have absolutely just had me in hysterics. Like, I would have been freaking out. And it was just because I'd had so much exposure. And so that is, like, I know that that's horrible, but it's something that I think about a lot, is that the things that I fear most, if I was to do them every single day for hundreds of times, they would no longer be the things that scare me. If I was to create YouTube videos every single day, it would be like, not a big deal. If I was to public speak every day, it wouldn't be a big deal. The best way for us to overcome our fears and the things that hold us back is to do more of them. So if this is your push to weigh daily and learn about yourself, the other thing is this. I'll just say one more thing and then I'm going to leave the podcast there. I believe that women have been taught to fear their bodies. And this is just something that I think that we just don't know a lot about our bodies. We don't know often the correct names of our own, like, anatomy. We are taught not to say certain things. We don't know about our menstrual cycles most of the time. We don't understand, like, all of these different mechanisms. And we do have, like, quite complex bodies. And it's really sad to me that there's this other whole world of being able to understand ourselves and our monthly fluctuations that we miss out on by being scared of a number. Like, that is so tragic to me. Because now, like, I know and I can tell, like, and know that when my weight goes up, it's because of my period. And I can see those fluctuations, and I can see the different fluctuations at different times of the month, and I can connect that to what I'm doing, and it becomes like this really interesting experiment. And it saddens me so much to think that so many people just use this as a measure of whether they're good enough as a person, as opposed to something that is literally just data and is there to help you as a tool, not to make you feel like crap. So I'm going to leave that there. I hope you enjoyed the episode, and I'll see you next week for another one.